at times is becoming farcical. And you have to really feel for these players and management. This isn't normal in any shape or form.
For your first chance to hear Brian O'Driscoll on OTB, download the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications.
Let's talk about the other thing that's happening at the moment. It's interesting, particularly interesting to us on this show, that with a few notable exceptions, there is not much conversation happening around the imminent Special Congress, which is now 12 days away. No, hang on, my maths aren't good. It's 15 days away. 15 days until the GAA decides whether or not it's going to go for Plan A, Plan B, or the status quo, right? Plan A, we know, is reconstituting the four provinces into 4/8. Nobody seems to want it. It looks like it's going to have no support at Congress, or certainly not enough support at Congress. Plan B is gathering support.
Yeah.
We're aware that Plan B is gathering support. I'm going to get into that in 1 second now. Status quo, you would say, is the outright favourite at the moment. I would say it's a 6-1, 7-1 on favourite. So it's going to take a bit of a miracle to get Plan B through. But it's our view that Plan B would absolutely revolutionise Gaelic football across the country. It would lay bare the difficulties that the smaller counties have, and at least allow for a building of some plans around getting your best players playing football the whole year long. It's not perfect. It is absolutely not perfect. Nobody says these are the tablets from Mount Sinai and these are the Ten Commandments and you should never go from straying from these because it's absolutely perfection. We've reached human perfection. Nobody's saying that. But the status quo is a series of absolute mullerings in every province with the exception of Ulster. And even in Ulster, there have been blowouts. Down got blown out in the championship last year in a one-off game. You know, we're in danger of mythologizing the Ulster Football Championship a little bit here. The rest of the football championships, like, they all have built in, codified into their very existence, absolute hammerings. And what we're voting for, and what we think is happening, is that is what's being told. You've got to keep going. And as Tony McEntee said, people are saying to him when he goes, "Oh, come on, come and play football for Sligo." Why, Tony? Why? Why would I play football? To go out and get absolutely humiliated in front of my friends and family and potentially on TV by Mayo, who have like 10 years of strength and conditioning from the time they're under 16 to the time that they finally make their debut at 26, whereas we've got a scratch team who've come together and who are doing their very best and who are competitive in their league division, but who are getting absolutely humiliated. And then perhaps there's a back door, but maybe there isn't. There might be no back door in the status quo, because we don't know. Do we go back to 2017? I mean, all this will become clear in the next few weeks. And maybe we do. Maybe they do get into a back door and they get a game so that they can have another game and then get hammered by another good team who are using them as cannon fodder to prepare for an All-Ireland quarterfinal. So the option is fix it or don't fix it. And at the moment, there is definitely growing support for fix it.
I think so. It is interesting where we're at in this conversation, because maybe there's a resignation at the moment that the status quo will actually prevail, despite, as you mentioned there, the growing support for Proposal B privately across the country. And I just wonder if it's divorced from the idea that Croke Park haven't really supported anything here. It kind of felt like in the build-up to the Congress where Super 8s was going to be on the table, it felt like it was wall-to-wall coverage. It felt like there was real momentum behind something that was going to pass. Whereas it feels that the coverage is almost reflecting the mood in Croke Park now, which is that this thing is not going to pass. And that is kind of a little bit disappointing at this point, almost as if that if there's no sources coming out of Croke Park, then the whole thing can't be covered properly at the moment. So we've been in touch with people over the last little while. We've been in touch with a couple of county boards. The main takeaway is that they can't fully commit one way or the other just yet. A lot of county chairpersons are in favour of this, but they can't commit just yet to going on the record, because a lot of them are actually just meeting next week. Now, in fairness, maybe the coverage reflects that next week. But once these county board meetings on the topic of Special Congress happen...
Why is there no coverage now, though?
You would have thought that could have been the way, because it does feel it will all be reactive next week. Decisions will have been made in county boards, and then as a result of that, it'll be hard to kind of change minds. But
Do you remember Rule 42, right? Remember the build-up to Rule 42 and the debate about that? Like, the debate raged on on talk shows the whole time. And it was, okay, it was a culturally significant moment. Mm. But this is actually, because it feels to me anyway, that this is far more important for the sport of Gaelic football. That actually what's going to happen here is a transformation in our summers, our sporting summers. You will be able to go and support your team in big games right around the country. Like, there'll be an opportunity for you to go and plan your holidays around away matches. There's going to be better season ticket sales. I don't know. Am I mad about this?
No, I don't think so. Maybe some people do think you're mad about this. I'm not sure. I'm kind of with you I'm with you full stop on, I think, of the three options, proposal B, I think, is what I want to see for the championship. And even if it is on a trial format for 2-3 years, I just want to kind of bring to people a sense of what we're getting from county board. So we've been in touch with every county board. And as I say, the vast majority are still sitting on the fence for now until next week. But a couple of people have said that they're happy to go on the record about this, even though they're waiting for their meeting next week. And one of those county boards is Sligo. And I was speaking to Sean Carroll, the Sligo County Board chairman, yesterday. We might get him on the show over the next couple of weeks before it actually goes to the Clare. And just to read out the statement that he said to me yesterday, because it's really interesting. He said, Sligo are going to make their decision formally on how we will vote on motions before special congress at a management committee meeting next week. Regarding the proposals for the potential reform of the football championships, I believe that we will decide to support proposal B based on discussions we've had previously, and that's the position I'll be advocating for the reasons set out below. So he's speaking in his own capacity. He's not speaking for his entire county board. Firstly, I want to state that as a county, we will always value our provincial championships and strive to compete and win these competitions. Our last senior success in 07 was a tremendous boost to the county, and we want to compete at that level again within our province, as we do at under 17 and under 20s level. Under proposal B, the round robin system will allow counties that lose a game to still be in contention and have a chance to learn lessons and apply the fixes in the short term. Concerns about potential waning interest / attendances can and should be addressed by additional marketing / promotion and investment support from Croke Park. Our provincial councils are vital to counties and much more than organisations who run competitions. So many their programmes and supports must be guaranteed to be funded. I think taking this concern off the table will be vitally important in making this decision, and would urge Croke Park for clarity on this. Like, and that's an interesting point that, I mean, we had Brian McAvoy on the show the other day who referred to it as turkeys voting for Christmas, and I'm not sure that is the black and white provincial council view on this. I think that there, as we hear from the Sligo County Board this morning, there is a sense that actually their experience within the province would be enhanced from this new format. And I would agree with that. Now, he said, will I go through the rest of the statement? Or, I'll go through the rest of this. So he said, I've spent a considerable portion of my time as a GAA administrator working on CCC and studying fixtures and the work they put in. The split season proposal, which was passed at Congress in spring, is revolutionary but necessary, and in my opinion, the only hope of having a manageable fixtures calendar. This was seen as a step too far when the report was issued, but the intervention of COVID meant it got trialled and was immediately heralded as success, which again probably points to the fact that trialling something is not a bad idea. He says, a decision of similar gravity is now before us regarding football championship structures. It's widely accepted that the league is our best competition. The radio coverage on the final day of the league as results pour in is one of the best days of the year. Moving the competition to centre stage at a more favourable time of the year will only enhance the excitement. He talks about the additional promotion opportunities and the promise of 7 championship games against teams of a similar standard. He says, my feeling is that a return to the status quo would be disastrous for counties like Sligo, as an experience of our recent years underline. Proposal A has few more guaranteed games, but would also be a missed opportunity if adopted. Proposal B might not be perfect, but with the appropriate supports mentioned above and potential innovations in the future, represents the best option and levels the playing field in some ways. This is a tremendous opportunity to improve our football championships, and one I hope won't be missed. So I know that was lengthy, but it's a really interesting insight into what a chairperson is thinking at the moment, even before that they have their meeting next week. And I suspect there are a lot of people in power in county boards across the country who are thinking exactly like Sean Carroll is. They're just waiting until the meeting happens next week to gauge club opinion, for example.
Yeah, so our understanding is that many of the counties who are having debates about this are coming to that same conclusion. We know that there is today a briefing from the Gaelic Players Association where they have already said that the majority of players are actually actively in favour of option B, and that they're going to ask their players to lobby their county boards to vote in favour of this. So what we've seen is that the provincial councils are against it. I'm very curious about why this isn't a debate in the press, why the the GAA correspondents aren't asking what the story is with this, or why they haven't published what they think is happening in the background. Because I've no doubt, with all of this, we can't see what the conversations that are happening between Croke Park and the provincial councils and the provincial councils and the county boards. Although we got a sense of it from Brian McAvoy. And in fairness to Brian McAvoy, he came out and spoke to us. Mm. Very few other people are willing to go on the record from the hierarchy of the various provinces and beyond to say, this is what's happening. This is what we think should happen. These are the pitfalls from A, B and status quo. And this is the financial implications of it. So unless deals are being done in the background, we won't know what happens until the actual vote is coming out in Congress, unless they come out and tell us we're strongly in favour of a trial period for B, or we're strongly in favour of a trial period for A, we're strongly in favour of a trial period for C, which is status quo, which is not really a trial period. So you know what I mean.
Well, like one of the elements of, in all of this as well, is that Congress is a bit different this year as well. It's not this massive sprawling event that we've become used to over the last little while. It is scaled back due to COVID, because I think they are looking to do it in person. So I was speaking to somebody in one of the counties yesterday who said that they will have 5 delegates representing their county, a county of significant size, and previously they would have had maybe 10 to 12 delegates, if I'm not mistaken. So there is a scaling down. It also means that if there is a mandate coming from the county board, it will be easier to carry that out. So I'm not saying this is any more democratic or not. Maybe it's less so, but it's also more controlled. And if there is representations made to the county board, either from the players or from other officials, they'll probably be heard and they'll probably be represented on the ballot on the day, considering there are fewer delegates from your county actually showing up to the thing. Less chance of renegades or other vested interests, basically.
I wonder, is there any merit in having league finals in divisions 2, 3 and 4? Is there any point in that? Is there something that you could give the winners of that so there's like a super wildcard weekend where the winners of those games are all guaranteed? So the winner of division 2 is guaranteed a home game against a team from division 1. The winner of division 3 is guaranteed. What do you do? Division 4, the winner is guaranteed to go through to the All-Ireland last 16. So you finish top of the group, but you need to win your final. That there's an extra week of jeopardy. Now, that's adding extra weeks. And I think one of the points about this is that you can have a condensed orgy of Gaelic football that like leaves the whole country gasping for more, and then you're finished.
Like the league finals thing was an interesting point raised by Brian the other day, because the further down the divisions you go, it seems that the more it matters. The Derry Offaly match earlier on this year, for example, seems to matter a hell of a lot. In an ideal world, the Tailteann Cup would mean something. And that is your version of the lower tier league final. And the top of the tree actually just getting promotion is obviously a big thing. So it's a hard one to know. Like I do think in the top tiers, like we know that in recent years it doesn't matter anymore. Like, I mean, we saw David Clifford in 2020 barely crack a smile when they won Division 1. So it doesn't matter to them. It is when you get down to Division 3 and 4, how do you replicate that big day out? The sort of meaningful moment of silverware. Hopefully the Tailteann Cup is the proper substitution for that.
It's hard to see that happening, isn't it?
Than a league final. Like, it's not that hard to usurp the prestige of a league final. Of course it's going to be hard to usurp the feeling of All-Ireland Final Day and Sam Maguire and the traditional championship. I accept that. But the league final isn't... Yes, it's been around for a hell of a long time.
Have the Division 3 and 4 league finals, that's a relatively new thing, isn't it?
I'm not sure. But like there is a level of tradition there, but I think it can be I think it could be scratched away at with something better that's new. I accept, though, obviously, that when it comes to the provincial finals and the All-Ireland final, of course, those are like magical days in the calendar. I don't think the league finals hold that level of... They don't hold that place in the heart of the Irish people. So I think that is a sacrifice that I suspect a lot of people will be willing to make, especially when you do have a second-tier competition. Now, that is the big question for me, is how do you make that second-tier competition work? It's not about how you preserve the provincial championships and all that. I actually think the provincial championships could be fine. I think people might be surprised by how things turn out with that being put to the front of the year and in a round-robin format. My big concern is with the second-tier competition. But regardless of what way you look at it, that's going to become a reality over the next couple of years. Like, the status quo might involve the Tailteann Cup. So voting against Proposal B is not a vote against the Tailteann Cup. That's one thing we need to remember. And that, for me, is the biggest concern for the future of Gaelic games or for Gaelic football, is how that second tier competition is actually run and how does it gain its prestige. But we got to remember, that is not Proposal B. That is not what Proposal B comes with. That is in, that was going to happen in 2020 before COVID hit.
It would have been beneficial, I think, for everybody to see how or otherwise the Tailteann Cup was functioning as something that those lower tier counties, by definition, that's why they're in the Tailteann Cup, if they embraced it. And so a couple of things that we're trying to fix here is that the best players in the smaller counties don't want to play for their county team because there's no point. I don't know if the status quo fixes that, because that's the issue that we're trying to fix, right? That's not going to in any way be sorted by this. I do think that, like, down the road we might decide that it's better to have the club season first and the inter-county season second, so that every club player can dream that year of having a great season, finding their form, making the county team, you know.
I think that was pretty cool last year, actually, when that worked out.
It seems like a little bit cart before the horse in the season. It was I had a conversation yesterday with Paul Rouse, and he was making the point that he thinks that the club season should come first, because players might not, you know, the players leaving for the summer would be less of an issue then. The best inter-county players, if they have a reason to stick around, will stick around, whereas actually club players might head off for the summer and you might miss the first 5 or 6 months of the championship, and the difference between the start of the league season and the end of the start of the championship season would be vast for the club team. So that's something that's the split season. That's unconnected to whatever the two seasons are. And another great point that he made was that you actually need to put proposals in place to upskill the counties and divisions 3 and 4. Again, I totally would agree with that. I think that's a separate point to the structures, and I don't think the structures are going to fix everything, but certainly the structures will allow you to diagnose where counties are relative to each other, having played a full season of football, the same length of season of football as everybody else, in the same weather. Like, we're judging the Dublin performances in August and September, and in some cases October, versus the Meath performances in June and July. And the Dublin team have had all those extra summer training sessions to work things out, deeper skill sessions, while the Meath lads are all back at their and it's just like you completely, something which is already completely imbalanced just imbalances further. And it's the same for Mayo versus Sligo, it's the same for Tyrone and Donegal or whoever it is from Ulster makes. And it's certainly like Kerry are training away in high summer, perfecting all of the skills deep into strength and conditioning and tactical performances in summertime, and Clare are back playing with their clubs and having the crack, and fair enough, that's their identity, and I appreciate that. But what's going to happen the next season? Who's going to have made the most quantum leap forward?
Well, it's pretty obvious, and Edna McGinley made that point on the show as well. He says that the only way for these counties to make a step forward is pure consistency, whether it's gym program, strength conditioning and football. It is just that level of consistency and the time that they get in an inter-county setup, because it's going to be a hell of a lot better than people are getting at their clubs. And if you want to pursue the dreams of actually moving up the ranks, you're going to need that time. The dice is completely stacked against you when you're actually going up against these counties in the current format, and that is the biggest reason for change and the biggest opportunity here. It just would be great to think that this thing could be brought through on a trial basis. I don't think anybody's got any problems with the Super 8s being ditched, like this notion that you trial something and then you're stuck with it for life. I think the Super 8s prove that that's not the case. I'd be surprised if we saw the Super 8s again. Maybe we see it next year and they fill out the 3 years, but beyond that, it's never going to happen again. So people can, you can have these debates as the thing is actually...
The one thing I would say, the Super 8s did prove to us though that you, when you're stuck and you made a bad decision, fix it while it's actually happening, as opposed to no, we made the decision, Dublin are absolutely guaranteed 2 home games because Croke Park's not their home venue, and that's, and they changed it a little bit for the second season, but not enough. Like, you still had Dublin having 2 home games in the Super 8s, which led to the dead rubber situation. Like, it was a clear, maybe if Dublin had been taken out of Croke Park, there was a chance they would lose the game, but like, the home advantage is a real thing in all sports ever since the creation of somebody kicking a pig's bladder around the place. It was better to be at home kicking your own pig's bladder than somebody else's. So like, it didn't fill me with confidence that we're going to learn in the environment and we're going to make changes as it goes along.
No, and hopefully now over the next couple of days as well, we'll be able to bring you the financial reasons for all of this. The reasons why the power brokers should be voting for this. We understand why the players want this and the managers want this, but we need to come to an understanding about why some of the power brokers aren't in favour of this.
That's
moment.
All, and that's all we're asking for, because then how do you affect change if you don't know what the actual issues are? Like, the openness and transparency around this debate that we were promised hasn't quite happened yet. And I'm surprised that it hasn't been a much bigger story so far from the various media organisations out there who cover GAA all the time brilliantly. Like, you know, we're wall to wall with GAA coverage. There's just not that much happening at the moment. And this is a big, big moment and a big opportunity, but it's just not being covered. There are a few notable exceptions who've been covering this really well from the start, but I'm surprised. OTBAM is brought to you by Gillette. Good morning. Start with Gillette. Put your best face forward with their new and improved razors.
At times it's becoming farcical, and you have to really feel for these players and management. This isn't normal in any shape or form.
For your first chance to hear Brian O'Driscoll on OTB, download the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications.